welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
You know, many of our listeners are in practice, and it's been a while, perhaps, since they were in the hospital and residence, but you know, we all remember one variation or another of passing patients off from one team to another at the end of shift, from one shift to the next shift. And, you know, I don't think it's a huge shock to our listeners that anytime one group of caregivers transitions to another group, you never know the patient quite as well when you're picking them up from a colleague as when you're doing the admitting history and physical yourself. We're going to look at a study published in JAMA that talks about this transition, but just a couple of reminding points. One is that the American Academy of Sleep Medicine and the Sleep Research Society, I do not belong to either of those, but they have, through scholarly work, determined that adults require about 7 hours of sleep at least per day to promote optimal health. And if you cut that short, it's been linked to adverse health outcomes, including cardiovascular disease and obesity and diabetes and depression and anxiety and a bunch of safety issues related to driving and injuries and perhaps even domestic violence. We also know that research has found that sleep duration varies by race and education and marital status and perhaps our girth size, etc. We also know that when health providers get short shift in terms of their sleep, not only does it adversely affect them as human beings, but it can often affect the health of their patients. So sleep is important. This particular study that you looked at, published in JAMA 2016, starts on page 2204, asks the clinical question, are end of rotation resident transitions, in other words, a time when residents have been on service for a month or so, a little bit fatigued, waiting to get off that rotation, are these end of rotation transitions associated with higher mortality rates amongst hospitalized patients? So it's only looking at the patients, but what did they find, Mark?
Yeah, this was a really nice study, and it's as you've done a nice introduction on a very important issue that I don't think gets enough attention. So these researchers, they gathered data from inpatients at 10 VA hospitals from 2008 to 2014, and they basically, the intern and resident rotation switch dates were obtained from the residencies, and patients with a length of stay less than 1 day or more than 33 days, so you know, really not having a transition, were excluded from the analysis. The transition group was defined as any patient admitted before the end of the rotation transition who were discharged or died within 7 days after the transition. So in that window, you know, they were being cared for during that transition. The control group was everybody else. The primary outcome was in-hospital mortality. Interestingly, only one of the 10 residencies required in-person handoffs. And I thought about that, and it kind of makes sense. When I thought back to my training, we didn't have in-person handoffs. It was pretty uncommon at the end of a rotation. You would, on the 30th, you know, was your last day. The next day, you're at your new rotation, and another team is in your old one, and you don't really physically meet. The overall cohort had 230,000 patients. About a quarter were exposed to one of these transitions. So they were the at-risk group. Those in the transition group, this at-risk group, had a longer length of stay by 3 to 4 days, which is amazing. That is really long. The adjusted mortality rates were higher in the transition group, both for the intern-only transitions and the intern and resident transitions, number needed to harm of about 50 to 60. The associations were stronger when the analysis was narrowed to the period following implementation of the ACGMA duty hour regulations in 2011. So it's actually a bigger association after these duty hour restrictions, which, you know, one of the concerns was that patient care might suffer because you don't have the continuity of the person being there for 24 hours or 36 hours as often. 30 and 90-day mortality rates were increased in the transition group. The only you know, silver lining was there was no difference in readmission rates. So, you know, but still, increases in mortality, increases in length of stay were pretty substantial. So this study shows an increase in short-term and long-term mortality. They tried to adjust the analysis for lots of patient factors, but, you know, it's there certainly may be some unmeasured confounding between groups, although I have a hard time thinking what that might be, given, you know, that when you're admitted to the hospital, whether it's on the at the end of the month or the middle of the month, should be kind of random. Additionally, this study didn't show any differences in readmission rates, so maybe reasons for death are more complicated, and maybe failure of information is more relevant to that outcome. But I think it really is kind of a warning shot across the bow to programs that they need to be thinking about how to do better transitions and potentially do in-person transitions. You know, maybe at the end of the last day of the rotation, have a pizza party at the end of the day and invite the incoming team and, you know, give them an incentive to come in and then talk about the cases, and then they're ready to go the next morning.
Absolutely. The one thing that hasn't changed in medical practice in the past 100 years is that pizza is absolutely the congregating tool. You offer pizza and they'll come. read this as though perhaps a little cynically, but that the one reason that the 30 and 90 day readmission rates perhaps didn't differ is that those were who were most vulnerable died.
I almost said that. I thought, you know, I mean, that's taking a bit of a leap to go there, but it certainly is one possible explanation. Mike, I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Talk with you again next week.
All right. See you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.